Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Reveille, reveille, reveille.
Out of your sleep, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake, wake, wake up, out of your sleep, wake up, wake up.
It's, no, wait. We don't have an edition. We're just doing one episode this week. Yeah, it's this week's edition here on Zero Block 30. And today we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one. Imagine you're a Bulgarian olive worker happily doing your job when suddenly U.S. forces come barging in. It's not World War II, folks. This happened last week. Your country isn't under attack. Their LT just got a little lost. Cons knows all about that. Round number two, an ISIS wannabe was about to head overseas to be a badass, quote, machine gunner and a beheader until he was turned in by his mama bear. Good on mama. Round number three, nothing says serious business like a whistleblower hotline set up by a congressman and a senator like Dan Crenshaw and Tom Cotton. They set up this hotline. It's about sexual assault, sexual harassment, and hazing. Just kidding. It's about being woke. A hotline for wokeness. The troops responded in only ways that troops know how to. Intense and serious sarcasm. Round number four, we have a badass of the week. There's a Florida boy who swam an hour through gator-infested waters in my hometown. This is a Jacksonville special story, which I'm super excited about. Swimming an hour in the St. John's River. The St. John's River, first of all, you want to know a fun fact about the St. John's River?
Of course,
yes.
I do.
Yeah.
It's one of only two rivers in the world that flow backwards.
Cool. What's the other?
Well, yeah. How do you know a river's flowing backwards?
Nile. Like, wow. Usually it goes north to south. That's not the way this one flows. It flows in the opposite direction.
Whoa.
Yeah. And Kate, you know what Dikembe Mutombo used to say, right?
No.
The Nile is not just a river in Egypt.
That's exactly right. That is what he used to say. Dikembe Mutombo, Mulumbo, Majumbo, Mutombo. And finally, round number five. We're going to talk a little bit about the worst things to buy as an adult. I don't know where. Oh, I do know. Because this week I had to buy some dumb shit. I spent my morning in a tire shop. Tires? Man, when you have to spend, if you spend over, I'll say, $150 on something that, one, people won't notice, and two, doesn't make anything look any better, it just feels like a waste of money. Just a huge waste of money. So we've all been adulting for a while now. We're going to give you a few of our least favorite things to purchase. One of those is not 3Chi. That's one of my favorite things to purchase. 3Chi is the industry leader in Delta 8 products. All products are formulated by a biochemist and made in the USA with USA Grow Hemp. 3Chi's Delta 8 is federally legal version of THC and is more effective alternative to marijuana. Oh, guess what? They had this bill that was going through Texas and it was going to make Delta 8 illegal. Again, they were going to try to make it where you couldn't have Delta 8. Did not pass, did not go through. I was so happy. I was going to be so sad, you guys. Like, legitimately heartbroken if I couldn't get 3Chi anymore.
I thought we were going to have to make some signs and head down there like we did with that CBS show. So.
Hey, if we need to go to Austin, I'm happy to go back. I was just there last month. I'm happy to go
Nobody
back.
Nobody hates going to Austin. Austin is a fucking wonderful city to go visit. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even feel like Texas. It doesn't feel like anything. It should be its own state, honestly. It should be. Austin is essentially Vatican City inside Texas.
Oh,
where even though
it's
in Italy, it has nothing to do with Italy.
No,
you know
what
would
suck?
If
a very different vibe from the rest of the state.
If you were like living a good bachelor life down in Austin and you were having a ball, like living the dream, and then you accidentally knocked some girl up down the shore and you had to move to Jersey to take care of the baby, That would be rough if you lived in Austin and that happened to you.
Can you imagine? See,
yeah.
When I was a bachelor in Austin, didn't happen to me. And it just life continued to be awesome. And I stayed in Austin.
Yeah. Definitely didn't happen to my baby daddy.
For sure not. But get some CBD because it's not illegal in Texas. It's still legal. Go to 3chi.com. Use the promo code ZBT2021. You're going to get 5% off on your checkout. It's a great deal. It's a great product. They have all kinds of shit now. I just went up to the office and got a grip of it. They have Rice Krispie treats. They have chocolate chip cookies. They have brownies. Let me just say, I had some of the chocolate chip cookies the other night.
Do you know how I know you did? At like 11 at night, you just sent me weird pictures of dolphins with no context.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Wearing top hats and all kinds of stuff. I just enjoy that kind of thing. And I watched Best in Show. And it was fucking killing me. And
is that Nathan Lane?
No, it's
Eugene Levy in that.
Right.
And I had such a great time watching that because I had seen this. I've watched it twice now in 3 weeks or so. Laughing whenever you're just a little bit high is the best. It's just the best.
It really
is. Like, you can't stop when nobody else, like my wife doesn't use it and I'm just sitting there giggling. She gets frustrated because I'm laughing so much. That gives me so much joy when she's mad at me for being happy. I just love that. I don't know what it is. It just makes me happy. So does Cons. I was telling Cons a little bit. I went golfing. Now, this is the first time that I've gone golfing without my family. I take it back. I said 18 months that I haven't gone, but I did go on Father's Day and I did go on Mother's Day last year. But I wasn't really trying or anything like that. Today I went out because I'm going to this tournament, which I'm going to put out a link probably tomorrow. I'll start putting it out. I'm doing this event. It's called the Longest Round. And I'm going to Minnesota. And it's to raise money where this company or this organization puts people together like the Battle Buddies. If you were injured in combat, they reconnect you with your Battle Buddies. So you guys can go golfing. You can go hunting. You could do whatever you want to. And they organize these trips. Some of them go to Disney World. Some of them go anywhere they want to, essentially. But they reconnect battle buddies, which we talk about all the time. Like having that connection to your service and having friends that can commiserate or understand like what you went through and really just the dark humor that military members often have. That is so important. And this organization is raising money. So we're doing this thing called the Longest Round. And what you're going to try to do, or what I'm going to try to do, is play 100 holes in one
day. Oh my God. That I'll tell you what, dude, that sounds like it gets to a point where it's grueling and no longer enjoyable.
Luckily it's in Minnesota. If it was here in San Antonio and it's 100 degrees, no shot. I would be doing that. Cause today I was smoke checked and I played 18. I was smoke checked. I couldn't do it. So I'm going up there. I'm playing with a couple amputees. One dude had lost his arm and a leg, and apparently this dude ropes the ball like 250 yards still missing. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to be embarrassed. I'm playing so terribly. Like, you're going to have all these amputees that are just out driving me, out playing me. And I'm just going to look like a big dumb idiot the entire time. But I didn't want to look like I hadn't played in a while. So I went out today, played with this old man, and he fucking embarrassed me. He was roping the ball off. He was like, oh, don't worry. Hit as many as you need. Like, don't try to be nice to me. Talk shit. Like, it's so much worse if you're performing poorly at something and you have an old person that's being kind. Mm. I would much rather, to me, it's nicer if I went with Cons and let's say Cons shot a 75 and I shot a 110. I would want Cons to talk shit to me every single time I swung the ball. That would make me feel better. Him being like, oh, it's okay, dude. Just take a mulligan. Nobody's out here. Fuck you, old man.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a very tough feeling too, because you hit one bad shot and then you were telling me about your first tee shot. You hit the first one bad and then you're in your head. This old man's watching me. I know he's
And the
good.
First hole here is an elevated tee box.
Oh, so it just invites you to swing away. Yeah. Oh my goodness. And the next thing you know, you just hit another bad one, and then you're off to the races for a terrible, no good, horrible day on the golf course.
I'm just stumbling up on the 100 holes thing. I get done 9 and I'm like, let's call it a day. That was fun. Like, I 100. Is it 2 days? Is it over a course of several days?
No, it's one day. You just try to, like, you do shotgun. Oh my God. Like, you just go and like the course moves people aside, like whenever you're rolling through, so you can go as fast as you can through the entire course. It's going to be a long, long day. I thought about it, I was like, oh, this sounds neat. And I actually reached out to them. They didn't reach out to me. I was like, this seems like really cool thing. I'd like to be involved. Is there a way? And they're like, yeah, sure. Come on up. And now I'm like, ugh, 100 holes in a day. That's not exactly, it is what I signed up for, but it's not what I signed up for.
A lot of holes.
Yeah, Brooks Koepka was right. Brooks Koepka said that he thinks golf should only be 13 holes. And I think that's right. Because at about like 13 or 14, you're like, I'm fucking sick of this.
I'll say this, though. I think it depends on what kind of day you're having. Because there are some days where you're out there and you get to 13, 14. You're like, damn, I can't believe this is almost over. And you're excited that you play 18. But yeah, there are days where you get to 12 and you just think to yourself, my goodness.
Oh, see, I disagree there, Cons.
Yeah.
I think on the days that I'm playing really well and I realize that I'm playing really well, I'm like, somebody just call it. Where's some lightning? So I could go in, I could tweet my scorecard, be like, guys, I had shot like a 54 through the first 16 holes. Like, what is going on here?
You want to go out like Costanza. All right, I'll see you. I'm good. Yeah, I get that.
Exactly.
I'm actually, exactly. I'm on
hey,
Sunday.
Hey, everybody, we're all going to get laid.
That's a great song.
I think I nailed that line.
But actually Sunday, I got invited finally. So I caddied all through high school at Plainfield Country Club, which is one of the top 100 courses in the world. I was a caddy. No. I didn't belong there. Trust me. I just worked there. And I hadn't played there since high school when I was caddying. And they made a lot of adjustments to the course since then because they've had a few tournaments, a few PGA events, and I got invited to play on Sunday. So I'll be going back there to play. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
Very nice. What some people weren't looking forward to was some Special Forces members flying through their factory, right, Kate?
Yes, that is correct. First of all, I know so little about the world. I didn't know Bulgaria was an olive oil place. Who would have thunk? Anyways, before I get into this story, have you guys ever popped into the wrong house, the wrong classroom, the wrong bathroom, like anything like that in your life?
Well,
yes, college.
Yeah, I will say, yeah, I definitely have wandered into a wrong bedroom and fallen asleep. But also, there are plenty of times where if you see, especially when you're younger and you're doing houses down at the shore and you're walking the streets and maybe you're going from one house to the next, if a house looks like it's really like jumping, I've walked in before and just used the bathroom and walked out, not said a word to anybody. And nobody really cares.
Oh, that's a weird move, Cons.
Well, as a little kid down the Jersey Shore, you're renting a house for the week. And so like my whole huge family rents all these houses and you think you're like, oh, this is my aunt's in this house, my uncle's in that house. So coming up from the beach, if you have to poop, you're hauling buns. And if you can't make it to your house, you're like, I think this is Aunt Helen's house. So
there's nothing worse than pooping with wet legs too.
Well, you pull down your wet suit and then your suit, and then pulling up a wet suit over after you take a poop. Once the seat's finally warm, a nightmare.
All right. I have a very serious question before you continue. Where do you both stand on pooping in the ocean?
I'm fine with it. There's trillions of fish that are doing it. What's the difference?
Okay. Yeah, it's a free meal. Free meal for them. Anyways, we're totally cool with it. But I definitely have done that as a kid, running up and like, I'm just going to poop in aunt or uncle so-and-so. And like, then you realize you step out and you're like, there's like a toddler running down the hall. You don't recognize. You're like, oh my God, I'm in the wrong house.
That?
Yeah. What like, who is kid? This? And then like, I've even actually walked up
the stairs. This little bitch, the little feet.
Well, like at Jersey Shore houses, the kitchens are on the second floor and stuff. So I'd hear conversation. And I'd be like, oh, my cousins are upstairs. And there's been times you run up the steps and it's like a totally different family. And you're like, my bad. But people are used to it kind of. They're like, sorry, my bad. But
you can't say if it's like a shotgun style house and all the houses look essentially the same. I feel like everybody knows. Like if that happens in Orlando, you can't say shit about it. Every house looks exactly the same.
Exactly. And then like coming back from the bars drunk, I had a cousin who passed out in the wrong beach house. And when he woke up in the morning, the family was totally cool with it. They were like eating breakfast at the table and they're like, good morning, you passed out here. You're fine. Like they were so nice about it.
I wonder now, are you the type of people that are giving the Jersey Shore the bad reputation that some people know us as?
Yes, probably. But also, it's just an
kind. Like that's not a jerky. Like that's if they're kicking people out and calling cops, I think that's different. But whenever I was in college, when I went back to school, I walked into the wrong like class and it was one of those huge auditoriums.
So embarrassing.
And nobody really cares that you did that. But in your brain, You think that's all they talked about for the last 30 minutes? Like, you see this fucking dumb redheaded bitch that just came in here? What a moron. Like, that's all you think they're talking about for 30 minutes.
Well, that's too, like, being in a big classroom like that, and the professor the first day is like, you know, just to make sure everybody here is supposed to be in, like, geology 101, right? And you're like, oh my God. And then you got to just sit through the class. You better not get up and walk out. That's too embarrassing. But that,
or like, if your family's going to Paris and you end up in fucking Chicago.
Oh my God, super embarrassing.
Yeah. Or New York.
Or New York, especially after you've already done the first thing. But basically, make that times 1,000 for the US military, who has issued an apology after soldiers accidentally stormed a factory in Bulgaria that produces processing machinery for olive oil during a training exercise last month. US soldiers at the 173rd Airborne Brigade had been practicing for days how to seize and secure a decommissioned airfield in Bulgaria. And that included clearing bunkers across the airfield. During a May 11th exercise, the soldiers cleared a building next to the airfield, thinking it was part of the training area. But guess what? It was a private Bulgarian business. They had gone off base. No weapons were fired, thank God. But you can see in the video, it looks like it's straight out of a video game. Here come these troops. They're wearing all their gear. They're pieing off the doorways. They're like in a position and everything, and they go through this factory, and at first they're seeing people, they keep going still, because it's, I was thinking, in a lot of military exercises we did, they would hire civilians to come in as actors, so there would be townspeople in the town, there would be people acting as, you know, right? So they kept going through the building, and all these workers are like, what the fuck is happening?
But
right
at least it happened in Bulgaria. I feel like this happens like every other week in Bulgaria.
This is a Tuesday in Bulgaria. You know? This is big
like
deal.
Like any Eastern Europe type country, like you can't say shit. Like Bulgaria, that's a fucking Tuesday. Yeah.
Well,
and part of the video I saw, the one guy, he's like doing sheet, because they're making machinery for the olive oil in there and stuff, and he's like picking up a piece of sheet metal. And he keeps working as the soldiers are going by, but he goes very slowly. He's like, okay, all right. But he didn't skip a beat. So maybe
I will say
something.
Their tactics were sound. So that's a good thing. Because, I mean, we've seen other videos from training environments where people are flagging one another. Nope, this unit, they were very squared away. Was very happy to see that. And this is not that surprising, because from the looks of the outside of the building, it looks like it could have been part of the training area, because it didn't look as if there were a bunch of signs that clearly identified that it was, this was a working olive
train
oil
here.
Factory.
This is olive place. Do not train here.
Yeah. Is there a flip? But I mean, to
maybe,
make up for
maybe
it
was like they shipped directly and there were signs, you know, when you're here, your family, Olive Garden.
It could be. They maybe just felt welcome. Well, the 173rd Airborne, they're going to have to buy, probably to make up for it, a bunch of olive oil producing machinery. So working party, they're going to start making a good one, Kate.
I bet all the cooks, the culinary specialists, are super stoked about that. Having a little fresh pressed. One of my buddies, I was just talking about it last night on Twitter, he got stationed in Greece, and he rented out this spot. He had to go do like house hunting leave, and he got a spot on this orchard that has olives all over it. That's got to be the worst orchard you could live on.
Definitely. I hate olives.
I like martinis.
Because you're not just going to go pick an olive off and eat it. Peaches, right. You could do that. Pears, plums, whatever. Pomegranates, anything else with a P. But olives? No, thank you.
No. Yeah, some people like olives. Alex loves olives, but not me. I think they stay
from the tree?
Oh, I don't
even know if you could do that.
I don't think she's ever eaten olives straight from a tree. I'm just talking about like when her martini comes.
Also, how old were you when you found out that almonds come on trees?
That's a good question.
Almonds grow in
trees?
It
was very close to today years
almond
old.
Almond trees.
It wasn't today, but it was close to today's years old.
Well, nuts grow in a variety of different ways. Okay, you can have your peanuts that grow underground, legumes, if I may.
Yeah.
And then you also have your pecans and walnuts and almonds that just hang from trees and fall off occasionally.
And they just dangle.
How brilliant was the fellow who invented that machine that you put a big old rubber band around it and it just shakes all the trees?
So cool.
Super smart. Well, anyway, the U.S. is going to have to really extend an olive branch after that happened. What a slippery situation. Olive to poke fun at those guys if I ever see them.
Yeah. When you were dating and like, or like not really dating, but when you were having a boyfriend or girlfriend, when you were in middle school or early high school, instead of saying I love you, did you ever say olive juice?
No.
You weirdo.
I'll do it now. Olive juice. If I don't say it, I'm saying olive juice, but I'm just going to mouth it for the pod. It looks like I love you, right?
So sure. You're not really saying it. So that's a good way out. If you're not ready to say it to your partner yet, that's a good way to just whisper olive juice. They won't know.
Yeah, because if you're not ready and they are, that's awkward city.
Ooh, it is. Yep.
The first person to say I love you in a relationship is braver than the Marines.
I would wholeheartedly agree. Wholeheartedly.
All right, let's move on to round number two. What do we got for round number two? Round number two, ISIS mama. So a Washington State man has been arrested for alleged efforts to join the Islamic State group. Elvin Hunter Bjorn Williams. He was fucked from the get-go. But that's not an ISIS name.
No.
Like, this is a guy that you feel like he would be in some kind of Norway type of group, right?
Yep. Mm. Elvin Hunter Bjorn Williams. The Williams really ruins it for me.
It really Elvin does. Hunter, he should drop
Elvin
that.
Hunter. What a name. My God.
He's 20 and gets his Pike Peak roast from Seattle. That's where he's born. He was taken into custody at the departure gate of the Seattle Tacoma International Airport on Friday as he attempted to board a flight to Cairo. After being arrested, Williams agreed to speak with agents of the FBI and allegedly stated that he had intended to become an executioner or a machine gunner for ISIS, according to a criminal complaint. Dude, you can't say that.
Right. Like, I feel like those aren't. Yeah.
You keep that one in the back pocket. Maybe you go like, yeah, I was really interested. So I'm trying to get to Bulgaria. I heard these have these amazing olives there. I want to go there. You don't say I'm going to become an executioner.
Right. You don't show all your cards to the
That's like terrorism 101. You don't admit to that. He said, it doesn't matter what you guys do to me. I get rewarded for it. I want to die. We love our deaths more than you love your lives. Williams was charged with attempting to provide material support to a foreign terrorist organization. He faces up to 20 years in prison if convicted, federal prosecutors said, and he made an initial video appearance on court. We got to stop that. I feel like if you are going to be an executioner for ISIS, that warrants an in-person court visit.
Yeah.
I think that's one that you should be in person. That shouldn't be a Zoom hearing.
Yeah.
Like a traffic court, fine. Do it on Zoom. If you want a misdemeanor marijuana possession, do that on Zoom. Executioner, where you're trying to behead somebody, buddy, you got to go in. You got to be wearing the orange. You got to be shackled up. You can't just come in there like that.
Well, it sounds like going off the story, they've been dealing with him for a hot minute. So maybe they're not too, I don't know. But since he was 16 years old, administrators at his high school contacted the FBI in 2017. To say he was telling his classmates he wanted to join ISIS and that the deadly terrorist attack at the Ariana Grande concert in England was justified because the singer dressed provocatively. So very, very, very.
At what point does the guidance council? That's what I was looking for. At what point does this guidance council sit him down and say, where did we go off the tracks here? Right. You know, he probably grew up nice. Nice home, maybe nice family in Tacoma, Washington. That's a nice place.
I kind of doubt it, honestly.
No, there's some weirdos out there, dude, especially if his name is Elvin Hunter. But his mom told FBI agents he had been kicked off social media, different social medias for violations related to pro-ISIS stuff. And she cut their internet service at the home. It was getting so bad. He was going on all these extremist websites and social media accounts that she cut their internet service. She was willing to go without internet so that he couldn't get on these sites. She told agents that her son said he wanted to move to Syria or Iraq to fight the jihad, to fight for the jihadists. How do you deal, like, as a parent? I can't imagine. Like,
Kate, all right, here you go, Kate. Kate, Cash comes to you in 16 years and says, Mom, I want to be a jihadist. What do you do?
I mean, what do
you feel like? You got to challenge Cass to rough and rowdy if that happens.
I feel like I have to fight him. I feel like we have to fight each other right there on the spot. And clearly I've gone wrong at some point, if that's the case, right? Like, how on earth? But it's a slippery slope, kids in social media, man.
Did you go that wrong? I'm just saying, there's so much
slope,
available.
Like, I agree that there is a slippery slope, but that slope, that's not a slope that a lot of people slip down.
No, you're
like,
right.
You have that one, right. But you see all these things about, like, QAnon, like General Flynn, for example, and his crazy ass comments that he made this week. If you haven't seen that, General Flynn, 3-star general, retired, essentially said that what happened in Myanmar with a coup needs to happen in the United States as well. No, it doesn't. And the army said that they're not going to investigate. What is there to investigate? He's on fucking tape saying it. It's not like you have to figure out a whole lot of stuff. It's not going to take a whole lot of resources. This is a 3-star general that says that there should be a coup. Probably shouldn't be getting all kinds of retirement and shit because you have certain responsibilities when you're a former general. But the slippery slope thing, like when you have somebody like this, is there anything that a parent could have done differently so you don't end up that way? I would say probably not, because I am a believer that nature and nurture does definitely play a part. But I look at myself and my sisters. We're so totally different and raised the exact same way. My two children have been raised nearly the exact same way, completely different people, completely different ideologies. Like, I think having multiple kids makes you realize it really is just who you are, like, as a person. You can play a part in it as a parent, like giving, instilling values, but ultimately the person is the person.
Well,
yeah, and that's a good point when I think about my siblings too, and the differences between those two and myself. So that's, I actually have never really given any sort of extended thought to this chap. So that's a great point when you compare siblings who all grew up the same, essentially, and end up very different. Interesting. Yeah,
Bill Clinton, his fucking brother.
Yeah, very true. Well,
Bill Clinton's president, and this dude has some fucking weird ass beer named after him.
The mom was clearly making efforts. She cut off the internet at the house, and also last November, it seems like she had linked up with a local mosque, being like, "Can you help de-radicalize him?" Well, that didn't work out either. The Seattle area mosque contacted the FBI to say that the kid Williams was. They were trying to look after him as an act of charity to de-radicalize him, helping with a place to live, food, and tuition for a semester of college. They also gave him a cell phone and a laptop to help him find a job, but the members made it clear he would have to abandon ISIS if he wanted to get help. Williams was asked to return the phone.
I feel like that's a fair request.
Very fair request.
All you gotta chill with the ISIS stuff.
Yeah, but he was asked to return the phone.
Yeah, this laptop and phone, just no ISIS.
Well, he blew it. Member of the mosque saw him using his phone to watch ISIS propaganda videos and engage in online chats with radicalized individuals. They also reviewed the phone and were disturbed to find numerous ISIS-related videos with graphic violence, including beheadings and instructions on how to build bombs. The Yikes. FBI opened an investigation into Williams and used several confidential informants, some who posed as ISIS recruiters, to monitor his activity over the years. He swore an oath to ISIS in November 2020. I wonder if he had to do a duck walk, too. I wonder if he still had to get down into his skivvies.
I've heard ISIS MEPS is very intense.
Yes, I believe so. Probably had to cut his belly button ring off.
Lots
and everything.
Of paperwork.
Yep, absolutely. Happened to me, too. But he's joined up with them officially, and then obviously the FBI was just waiting to say, you're fine.
I don't get it. Listen, joining ISIS sounds like, to call back to our previous story, it sounds like the pits, being part of ISIS. Mm-hmm. You got to hate everybody. You wear like the same thing every day. You live a very minimalistic life. Why not just, you know, be a normal 20-year-old?
You need to be more specific, because a lot of that sounded like the Marine Corps too.
Yeah, a lot of it. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
You hate everything.
You have to wear a uniform. You got to.
They make you run. Yeah, you spend a lot of time in the desert.
Not great.
Sucks.
I guess the large difference being their ideology really stinks.
And the worst part, I mean, I guess besides wanting to be a beheader, is that now you're gonna go to a fucking jail to prison for 20 years. And realistically, you didn't do anything but watch some fucking videos and try to board a flight to Cairo.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything. But you're going to jail for 20 years. Hmm. Well, I mean, at least if you do something, you're going to jail for a reason. This guy was just like, it's just his imagination running wild.
But I will say, you know what? I like it. I like that we're not letting him off the hook. It's like, hey, you want to join ISIS? Cool. Jail, 20 years. Easy.
Yeah, and it'd be different. It'd be even different if you just tried it one time. You've been trying this for 4 years, bub. You need to go.
Right. Right. We gave you all the outs in the world to say, you know what? Maybe this ISIS thing isn't really the best path for me. But nope, he kept at it. And guess what? Attica, 20 years.
You know what you don't get in prison?
What?
Black Rifle Coffee. It's a veteran-owned coffee company serving premium coffee to those who love America's veterans. CEO founder Evan Heffer spent 7 years on the ground overseas with U.S. Special Forces as a CIA contractor. Evan modified his gun trucks in the invasion of Iraq to grind coffee anywhere. I bet his platoon sergeant had to be pissed about that. Like, why? If I came, I just don't, I think most motor pools would frown upon you making serious modifications to a gun truck that for coffee purposes. That's kind of
counterpoint. I think everybody loved them because they always had fresh coffee.
That's true. Black Rifle Coffee Company is continually committed to supporting veteran law enforcement and first responders. In 2020, Black Rifle Coffee donated more than 6 million cups of coffee to deployed soldiers, law enforcement, and medical workers through their signature Buy a Bag, Give a Bag program. They import their high quality coffee beans from all over the world and roast them 5 days a week at their facilities in Manchester, Tennessee, Salt Lake City, and they have some brick and mortar spots here in San Antonio as well. If you want it, go to blackriflecoffee.com/zero. Use a promo code zero to get the freshest coffee in America shipped to you. Let's move on to round number three. This one comes to us from Task and Purpose. It was written by James Clark, and I love this kind of story because one, it just is so that people like Dan Crenshaw and Tom Cotton spend their time like coming up with this and having their staff members actually put this website together and having all these different types of whistleblower things for the purpose that they have is just unbelievable to me. So the story says Navy SEAL veteran representative Dan Crenshaw from Texas recently took to Twitter to announce a newly created whistleblower website to help root out the scourge of wokeness in the U.S. military, and he is getting trolled over it hard. The trouble started on May 28th when the former SEAL officer turned congressman posted a call to action on Twitter encouraging service members to reach out to his office and to Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas, a former Army officer with evidence that woke ideology has infiltrated the ranks of the U.S. Armed Forces. After all, it is useful. It's a useful tool for hearing from constituents. It informs lawmakers of issues facing folks around their districts, and it might lead to an impactful legislation that resolves whatever problem somebody blew the whistle on. That said, Crenshaw's recent action to call to action is somewhat atypical, seeing as those sorts of campaigns usually focus on gathering evidence to illustrate the severity of a single concrete problem like sexual assault, harassment in military, government malfeasance. Malfeasance is an unbelievable word.
Great word.
Great word.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you sound like a little bitch if you complain about malfeasance, like the fraud, waste, and abuse program. Right. That's essentially what that was. Like if you, and that was one of my favorite lines, though, was telling people whenever they were a fucking moron that they reminded me of fraud, waste, and abuse every time I saw them in uniform. But the article goes on to say other systematic issues like corruption, not for something as vague or subjective as woke ideology in the ranks. It also might strike someone as ironic that Crenshaw has offered up a whistleblower protection, seeing as that he made headlines not too long ago and faced the possibility of ethics committee investigation over his alleged involvement in a plot to go after another veteran who blew the whistle on sexual harassment at the Department of Veteran Affairs. For those who have been hiding under a rock or something, that has to be Kyle, right? Kyle had to write that.
Yeah.
The typical complaint about wokeness in the U.S. military goes a little something like this. Because some of the branches in the military created a maternity flight suit and updated their hair regulation for service women, this proves that the Department of Defense is caving to pressure over political correctness and isn't focusing enough on war fighting. The counter argument to this is that they can do both. So it goes on and on about this this woke ideology whistleblower program. And there is certain elements of society, elements of political ideology who really believe that the military is this woke instrument. What do you think the percentage is of people who in the military who would say there's too much wokeness going on in the military?
10? I was going to say it's a small percentage. Yeah, I was going to say small. I was going to say 10 or less. I don't think
they would say, what are you talking about? Because you are in a bubble and you don't give a fuck. You're just busy training and doing your job. So,
like I was going to say, what is it? You know, woke ideology. It's just by the sheer words, it just seems something that is somewhat of a conspiracy that doesn't actually exist somewhere in the military.
It's just a stupid concept. Like it's they're complaining that the military is saying, hey, having bases named after Confederate soldiers, we have finally realized that they were the enemy. The Confederacy was the enemy of the United States of America. Mm-hmm. Maybe we shouldn't have our bases named. Women are equal to men. Whoa, That's terrible. Let's not teach that anymore. Like, there's the things that people are complaining about. Homosexuals, they have the right to be in the military too. It's essentially civil rights that you're teaching, that they are an equal part as just like the regular white males. I don't understand why that's a bad thing.
Right. I mean, to make the leap that it is a bad thing is like jumping over the Grand Canyon, because to think that, well, now we let the females wear their hair differently, this will be the fall of our military across the world. I don't know how to make that leap is very, very impressive, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. All these guys are scared of they're scared of change, and they're scared of something that maybe this makes them seem a little less manly. If there's girls with ponytails running around that can do the same shit as them. I can't figure it out, truly, that it's still
the
a problem.
Only reason why the only reason we're really talking about this is because I knew for a fact, as soon as this came out, oh, this is going to get trolled to shit. Like, if you put it out there where you can submit anonymously and is the type of thing, it's going to get trolled to shit. And that's exactly what happened. So Task and Purpose published a bunch of the submissions that they were sent. The first one says, in 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to a prison by a military court-martial for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune.
And then it says, please describe your goals in working with Representative Crenshaw. If you have a problem, if no one else can help and you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Are you an A-Team guy? Apparently. Oh, yeah. We're, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, man. I love the A-Team. Love the A-Team. Yeah.
The next one says, I've seen things people you wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion. I've watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Tannhauser Gate. Is that how you say that? Tannhauser?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did I nail that? All the moments will be lost in time, like tears in the rain. It's time to die.
Yeah, people have been flooding it with just absolutely ridiculous things. I think he knew exactly what he was doing. I don't think he'll even really look at any of the answers or anyone on his team will. Just the fact that he created it pandered to his audience perfectly, to his fans perfectly, to his whatever perfectly. And I think they'll be like, damn right, that's, yeah, whatever. And that, to them, that's all that matters. The rest of this, the trolling, the whatever, it doesn't matter. To his audience, he's done something.
That's the original soundbite that's going to be read on like Tucker Carlson show or something like that. The next one says, I think my base commander may have ordered a code red to kill a fellow Marine who is not fitting in well at the base. I have no proof of this, but that's the scuttlebutt. When I confronted him about it, he told me that I could not handle the truth.
I went to school and a bunch of Cubans and Soviets parachuted out of the sky.
Kyle thought that too.
I went to school and a bunch of Cubans and Soviets parachuted out of the sky. This was cool because we didn't have school, but it was bad because the commies killed some people and they made us learn stuff like Red Lives Matter. Very woke. And goals? Go Wolverines.
I mean, it's just over and over again, different things that people put in here. I don't understand the woke ideology thing at all. Like why and I think it's just like a catch-all term now. Like it's wokeness has become this catch-all term when it doesn't even really mean anything. It's lost all meaning.
That was my point earlier. Like I don't even understand. You say woke ideology to me, and I just think I don't understand fully what you're even trying to convey there.
Seems like they mean decency. Like wokeness means like you're trying to be decent. You're trying to be kind to everyone. We don't tolerate that kind of shit around these parts.
God forbid.
And again, he knows exactly what he's doing in playing off. He knows that civilians think that the military is this high speed. Everyone's special forces running in and like wokeness is going to ruin that, when really civilians don't understand that maybe 1% of the military is that. And so really it doesn't affect anything. So he's knows exactly what he's doing.
I was cracking up really reading these though. Another complaint description: Goose won't talk to me. I thought that was a good one. These are my awards, mother, from Army. And then the last one I'll read: I am the sergeant of arms of Omega House and an ROTC leader. My cadet shot my horse with blanks, but he died of a heart attack. The woke deltas tried to crash the homecoming parade and I got taken down by a parade float. Do something about this flounder, Colonel Niedermeyer. It's just
little animal house goofing.
Yeah, I love it.
Mm-hmm. All right. That was brought to you by our good friends at SA Company. If you want some face shields to keep your face from getting sunburned, even though coronavirus is based, is coronavirus officially dead? Have we declared it dead? Is it gone?
So it's I'm going to say we might want to choose our words carefully there. I would say it's taken
on life support.
Too soon. Yeah. But I'd say it's not doing well. Yeah, no, I think we're.
Oh, I see what you guys meant. Because I said dead.
Yeah. We're getting out of the worst of it, though. That's for sure. Yeah. It's, you know,
yeah. New York City, if you want to get out of the worst of the sun, you can do it with SA Company. They have SPF 30, lightweight and breathable. It's a perfect piece of protective gear. It is very comfortable. A lot of the protective mask and the sun shirts and shit like that, it doesn't feel great on you. But this one, you can wear it in the pool whenever I put it around my neck so my little shoulders don't get all sunburned. And then I dip it into the water, drip it over my head. It feels lovely because it gets cooled. I have some SA face shields, and you can get them with all the different types of decorations and things like that. Go to safishing.com. You can get 5 shields for the price of 1, plus a lifetime warranty and free returns if you're not satisfied. That's safishing.com/0. Let's move on to round number 4. What do we have for round number 4, Catherine?
Well, we got a badass of the week, chaps. And it's from your neck of the woods. From your neck of the woods down in Florida. A seven-year-old boy in Florida is being... How old is McCartney?
8.
8. So I just picture how tiny they are and how, like, and I'm picturing someone their age doing this. A 7-year-old boy in Florida is being hailed a hero after he swam ashore to get help when his sister and dad got swept away by a current. Stephen Poust told CNN affiliates that he anchored his boat on the St. John's River in Jacksonville, Florida, to let his 2 children, Chase 7 and Abigail 4, go swimming on Friday. All of a sudden, Abigail, who usually hangs out at the back of the boat, had to let go because the current got so strong. The 7-year-old decided to also let go in order to keep her from drifting, but then he was stuck. Poust jumped in and tried to help them and told Chase to swim to shore while he tried to reach his daughter, who was wearing a life jacket. I told them I loved him because I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I tried to stick with both of them. I wore myself out. She drifted away from me. Holy shit, parents, worst nightmare.
Deep for a 7-year-old. Wow. It took Chase
an hour to get to the shore. He told WJXT that he floated on his back and doggy paddled so he wouldn't get worn out. When he reached land, he ran to the nearest house for help. Meanwhile, his dad and sister drifted about 1.5 miles to 2 miles away from the boat's location. The Jacksonville Fire Department reached the boat, but had to call in other agencies to expand the search. If it wasn't for help of colleagues, the outcome would have been different. They used every resource that they had, and thank God they found the father and the daughter, and they are all safe.
Let me give you a little background of what swimming in this river is like. This isn't like a river that is, you can see in it. This river is, I've spent a lot of time swimming in this river. One, there's alligators fucking all over the place in the St. John's River. Typically, alligators, whenever you're swimming, they don't mess with you. So it's not super scary if you're from that area. But if you're a 7-year-old thrashing about or a 4-year-old thrashing about, and you know that there's alligators in there, which if you're from that area, you know it because your parents point them out whenever you're going down the, like, it's just a fun thing to do. My grandfather used to take me to this place called Alligator Alley, and it was in Palatka, which is about 45 minutes south of Jacksonville. And whenever you're in that spot, you can see the eyes of the alligators that are on the top of the water, and you'd be like, there's an alligator, there's an alligator, there's an alligator. So every time you go in, you're just thinking, I'm in a school of alligators right now. That's where I'm at. So to be in this type of water where you can't see the 4-year-old going by herself, dude. And I can't imagine the fear that would be in your throat whenever you're telling your children, I love you, because you think they might die. Oh my God. And not only that, once you find out that your kid didn't die, you might die again because your wife will fucking kill you.
I was just thinking about that. I was like, he was probably most scared of all that his wife was going to find out about this.
Because,
like,
what if he doesn't say, and then it pops up on the news, and then you have your adorable little son standing there in his American flag fishing shirt, and you're like, you did what with our children? Mm-hmm.
That's terrible.
Like, because that current doesn't just pop up. Like, that's not something... like once you realize that there's a current going downstream and spoiler alert, in a river, there almost always is. Mm-hmm. Like you don't let a 4-year-old float by themselves.
No, not at all. River. You don't
like whenever I would go to the lake with McCartney, I would constantly have McCartney tied to me. Like everywhere we went, it was like McCartney was a dog on a leash. Like you mm-hmm. are going to be on my hip at all times. That's where you're going to be. 4 years old floating down the St. John's River, scary as shit.
But this very dude, this Florida. Little, very this Florida. Guy,
you know how they'll have it is extremely Florida. You know how they'll have like a if a kid scores like 30 points in a AAU basketball game and they're like 10 or 11, where mm-hmm. Coach K will offer them a scholarship. This should be something that a Navy recruiter does and being like, look, you have a spot in the SEALs as soon as you're old enough.
Yeah, seriously,
because go. Clearly brave.
How yeah. many right. how many 7-year-olds have this level of intestinal fortitude? This is unbelievable. He's, you know, and knowing to have the peace of mind to know, okay, I'm going to lay on my back for a little bit so I don't get worn out. That was impressive. But to go swimming where there's a bunch of alligator eyes and you can see them, that's going to be a no from me, dog. I'm just not getting into that water from the beginning. I'm staying away
but
from
you just
that.
I understand that, but it honestly, I've never heard of anyone in my life getting attacked that I know by an alligator, and I've lived there my entire life. Yeah. My cousin Will, actually, he has lived in this town called Ocala, which is south of Jacksonville, too. And he was telling me one of his buddies got attacked by an alligator last weekend, and he sent me a picture of it. He was just drifting down one of these springs that was there. The alligator came up, grabbed him by the fucking head,
no,
and like thrashed him around. Will sent me the picture of the dude's skull was essentially like cracked open. The guy made it. He's alive, had surgery and shit like that. That's the first time I've heard of an adult person getting attacked by an alligator that's See, not working at like an alligator farm.
I thought it would happen more frequently. The alligators just have no desire to come after humans. Percentage-wise,
you just don't hear about it. Even in Pensacola, where I went to high school, you can do aerial, like the news would do aerial shots of the beach where you could see hundreds of bullhead sharks that were all around the Pensacola area. It's so rare for somebody to get attacked by it. Like just so rare for it to happen. And every place that I went swimming in my whole life, I knew that there was alligators in the water. It didn't really faze me. Like it mm-hmm. really didn't, which is weird.
Well, that's just like, I think growing up near a beach, if you go swimming in the water, you watch Jaws enough time, you realize there's dangerous animals in the ocean, but you kind of just don't think about it. You just go out there.
Well, there's been about 6 alligator attacks per year from 1971 through 86 and about 10 per year from 1987 until nowish. So, and
I mean, that's so little. I mean, 10 a year is nothing.
Only 24 killed since 1973, and that was it as of 2019. So, I bet
Jolly Ranchers have killed more people than alligators.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Hot dog, little hot dog piece. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you don't have a Jolly Rancher get stuck in your throat. You're dead, man.
Forget it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I heard this boy, though, when he was eventually rescued, they gave him a big old bucket of alligator bites. And he said, no, thank you. I'll have a hot dog.
The best part is that when he was getting interviewed, he was 7. He was from Florida. He was ripping cowboy killers, just Marlboro.
Yeah,
after it. All right, let's move on to round number 5. This one is a little bit of a poll that we're not really a poll, but we're just tired of spending money on stupid stuff. What's not stupid is Simply Safe. If you want to spend your money on something that's worth it, that'll help keep your family protected. I don't know if they have alligator insurance, but basically anything else, they have it. Simply Safe has an award-winning system that helps all the technology, bells and whistles, everything that you'd expect these days. But the people at Simply Safe really take it to the next level. They're there around the clock whenever you need them. And the thing is, Simply Safe makes it easy. It takes about 2 minutes to customize a system on their website. I would say less because they have everything kind of like set up for you, what you would need. Whenever there's a fire, burglary, a medical emergency, a burst pipe, or even a problem while you're setting up the system, burst pipe. I wonder if I haven't seen the burst pipe one. I need to check my system out, see if it has burst pipe. Mm-hmm. That would have been really helpful whenever we had that winter storm here. But Simply Safe has a person with expertise if you're not ready to help you 24/7. Wow, good job reading. See, this is why I do the fucking FDR voice. And, you know, there's always going to be somebody there to help you when you need it, so you don't have that feeling that you are swimming downstream in alligator-infested water by yourself. Go to Simply Safe right now, simplysafe.com/CBT. To customize your system and get a free security system. You can also get a 60-day trial. So there's nothing to lose at simplysafe.com/ZBT. So this one, I went this morning, my wife's car, the tires were like starting to get bald. So I went to go replace it. And that's an expense that you don't really think about that often. Like it's not something that's constantly in the forefront of your mind. Oh, I'm going to have to buy tires soon. So then when you go and you don't buy them that often, like you buy tires like every 5 or 6 years. And if you buy a new car, you probably don't have to, because usually you buy a car 5 or 6 years. So you could go a decade without having to do it. I was sitting there today and I was like, I want to just get the same exact tires that I have on here now. The ones that were stocked, they're fine. They last a long time. And the guy was like, all right, it's going to be $1,120. It's like $1,120 mm-hmm. for fucking rubber and metal.
Yeah.
$1,100.
That's tough to swallow, man. That's tough to swallow.
How much do you think it costs to manufacture? It's got a $20, 20 maybe. Bucks of a material.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll have to get Big Rubber on the horn, see what they have to say.
Fucking ridiculous. I was thinking this might be, but I've had a lot of those experiences of a really terrible thing to buy for adults over the last 3 or 4 months because I moved. One of which, my first one, anything to do with a roof.
Yeah.
You have to repair anything on a roof. No one knows. No one will care. But that could be legitimately a $30,000 expense.
Yeah, I had to replace the roof on my house in Texas before I sold it. When they did the inspection, they're like, yeah, this got torn up in one of the hailstorms or what have you. So luckily,
those my inspectors are bullshit, too. They're liars.
Dude, roofs. And then one of mine was a French drain. If you ever get told you have to do a French drain, that was the other thing. My realtor said, oh, there's water collecting in your backyard. We're going to suggest you install a French drain. I Googled that today. Does a French drain actually help remove water from soil? And it said no. So I got taken to the cleaners on that one too. So lesson learned. Yeah, luckily the insurance covered some of the roof, but a roof, man, depending on how big your house is, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, not fun groceries. I hate spending money on fucking vegetables. It's the worst. Nope. Veggies are expensive, man. And then I know in my bones they're going to sit in my fridge till they go bad. But I feel like at this point I got to be buying them and stuff. So, the worst.
Have you been eating veggies?
Yeah, I've been forcing myself to. You know, all I do now is the frozen steamed veggie meals. I just frozen meals morning, noon, and night. That's what I do. But like healthy ones. So
that sounds sad.
It's so sad. So sad.
You should,
Hans, what's yours that you hate to buy?
HVAC filters. So there's another thing I learned. Yeah.
And those aren't expensive, but that it's a pain in the ass.
So I learned this one the hard way too. Because growing up, I never paid attention to the air conditioning unit in my house because why would I, right?
Right.
So then I get to my house and all of a sudden one day my air conditioning isn't working. So I look and I can't figure it out because what the hell do I know about air conditioners? So I have a technician come and it's like, oh yeah, it's all stopped up because the filter was bad. You need to change these filters. And I said, excuse me, you need to change the filters? How often do you need to do that? I had no idea. And
you need to change your attitude is what you should have said.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right.
Mm-hmm. expectations. How about that?
Yeah.
And it just collected on the bottom of the unit and there was just a big block of ice. So that was the hard way that I needed to learn to change.
Yeah, that happens and it's something so simple.
Yeah.
When there's a home thing that you just don't know because you've never had to deal with it. Like during that storm, our pilot light went out in our water heater. I had no idea how to do a pilot light. I'd never heard of a pilot. I was like, oh, maybe I have to get a long match or something. They're like, oh, no, just hit this little button. I was like, I didn't know that button was there. Mm-hmm. What does that fucking button do? I don't know about that button.
Right.
Back in my day, our guy's rugby team used to piss on our pilot light.
Oh, okay.
That's fucked up.
That's mean.
Anyway,
those rugby guys were the worst.
They were the worst guys.
Took dumpers, right? In the top of your toilet? Didn't they do that?
They upper deck the toilet. No, the worst was they pooped in our like washer and dryer, our clothes washer and dryer in the basement. Worse. And on my floor.
Nice. That's not nice at all.
Near my bed.
Oh my goodness gracious.
There's no such thing as poop goofing.
You hooked up with them though. Of course.
Okay.
What?
Yeah.
I said, still hooked up with them, though, of course.
Oh, yeah, you got to. Yeah, absolutely got to.
Low self-esteem.
Especially when it's a thick one. You're like, oh, that guy's got a thick one. That's a big butthole.
Mm-hmm. You see?
That's what good. I like. Mama likes a big old butthole.
Mm.
How big?
Softball you know me.
Size. Yeah. Just love it.
Okay. Going on. I hate buying cleaning supplies. Obviously, you got to clean your house. I don't want to spend money on freaking Pine Sol. I don't want to spend money on bleach, but you have to. You don't want a dirty house. That's not
my least favorite one, and it happens once a month. Electricity bill.
Oh, And I was going to say bills in general.
Expensive. How can this be so expensive? And we were talking a little bit about the in the group chat today.
Yeah.
How the fuck does gasoline work?
I don't know,
How do you just go to a pump, you put gasoline into your car, and that's what powers it? It's essentially stinky water. Like, you have stinky water with dinosaur blood in it, and that's what powers your car?
Like, how does the car know it isn't just dirty water? How does it know it's gasoline? Why can't I put,
like, watered down mustard in there?
Right.
Anything.
I mean, really? We haven't come up with a better solution yet? And don't give me electric cars. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to plug my car in. That's ridiculous.
Electric car shit. Somebody, I think it was Steve Robinson, said that electric cars are really powered by fossil fuels too, because that's how you make electricity. Blew my mind. Like,
that
there's no such thing as a non-fossil fuel car. Unless you have wind.
Here we go. Get me a car that's powered by water. We have water all over the world.
They're trying to do that. Yeah.
Get out of town.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
What do you think a steam engine is, my friend?
Good point. Oh, man. This is crazy. This is like... my next one, this one really stunk. It was great in the end, but it really stunk when you consider what they cost for a freaking rock.
The war in Afghanistan.
Yeah, right. Wars. Yep.
Yeah. Taxes. I mean, taxes legitimately. I would say there was an opt-in, opt-out program for taxes. Like, I don't want to pay for roads.
I never benefit from any of the program. I never benefit from anything. I got potholes outside right now.
That's a good point. But I was going to say, an engagement ring. That stinks.
Yeah. I'm over it.
But you get to show that off. And you were so happy. That was a segment, essentially, that we had on TNT.
You got a nice one for her. That was
Getting a lot of stories. That's going to be stories forever, essentially. You're going to get a lot of tales out of that. Oh, where'd you get that engagement ring? It's a beautiful... What's the story behind that? Well, my friend, he grew up in a Bulgarian olive factory, and he had the hookup with this guy named Boris, who shaved chaps whenever he was in New York.
Yep. My last one, if you ever have to replace any appliance...
Oh, yeah. A refrigerator. Worst one to do, hot water heater is terrible to have to replace. So is washer and dryer. Washer and dryer just absolutely sucks. Because the things that they build now, although the technology is greatly improved on just about everything in America, they aren't built as well. So you have to, I think that these companies like Samsung and Maytag realize, yeah, the technology got better, but we got to stop using cast iron for these things because they never break. We're never going to make money. So now they make them where they're much more technologically advanced, but they know we got to put all these parts, let's put like half of them as plastic. Even though it wouldn't cost us that much money to make it into metal, let's do it in plastic so we can charge that dumb bitch chaps again in 3 years.
Yep, big appliance coming for that ass. It's unbelievable.
Terrible. My last one's just medical bills. Especially after having a baby and having to go to an appointment,
mental health stuff.
going to an appointment every week for the baby where I would have to go all the way to Queens. Parking costs money. Then I go in and for 2 seconds, they look at you. They're like, okay, you're fine. See you next week. And then you get the bill and you're like $400. What? So that's a killer.
Insurance doesn't pay for that.
No, insurance. Thank God. Chunks of, but like you look at the thing, you still have to pay like parts of everything. If I didn't have insurance, he would have cost me almost $30,000.
What?
No, it's so
we
insane,
got the
man.
Bill the other day and our jaws dropped. We're like 20, oh it was like 29,500. Yeah, insane.
Have you ever seen those? It's like the clips from Europe where they show Europeans what Americans pay as far as healthcare goes, and it blows their fucking mind. Yeah. Like they'll be like, how much does this aspirin, do you think this aspirin costs? And they're like, aspirin, just go to your pharmacist and ask them, because I guess there they like give it to you, like if you need it just like they just hand it to you, like here you go. And because it's socialized medicine, there's so many things that we have to get a prescription for that they don't have to do that. And their advertisements, when they come here, like a European comes here to America, and we have like our Cialis commercial or whatever, our Viagra commercial, they're not allowed to do that in Europe. You're not allowed to have medical advertisement in Europe.
What?
So it blows their mind. They'll be like, oh, how much did you have to pay for your appendix to get taken out? And Europeans will like, nothing. Like, I'm a citizen here. It costs me nothing. And American will be like, oh, fucking 15 grand because I didn't have I didn't have insurance. The difference is just insane. Like what we have to pay.
Yeah. Crazy. Well, I mean, there are some differences between socialized medicine and what we have here. Obviously, we don't need to get into that, but it is a little ridiculous when you consider some of the things that we have to pay for and what they cost just for showing up. You just,
yeah, if you, it is good. Like to have our system of, as far as research, if you're, if you need brain surgery or something like that, but 99% of the procedures that you need done, socialized medicine does it perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well.
Well, fuck. All right, let's move on to safe rounds and alibis. Kate, we'll start with you.
I have an interesting one that I had no idea about. Do you know who John Hinckley Jr. is?
Sounds familiar.
Isn't that the cousin of John Jingleheimer Smith?
No, but his name is my name too. John Hinckley Jr. tried to kill President Ronald Reagan and stalk actress Jodie Foster. And if you recall, on March 30th, 1981, Hinckley tried to murder Reagan outside a DC hotel, calling it a love offering to the actress. Like, he was like, I'm doing this for Jodie Foster. And he tried to kill Reagan. Okay, to each his own. Ends
better
up-
gift than what Migs tried to give Jodie Foster.
Right, exactly. Mm. So
you know
he
what
ended
I mean
up
there? Do you, know, wait, up- do you know what I meant? Did you know
no,
what I meant?
I'm sorry.
Migs is the guy from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, Silence of the Lambs.
Who nutted in his hand and threw it on Jodie Foster's ear. Yeah.
Well, anyway, this Hinckley guy, he ended up shooting Reagan in the lung and he wounded three other people. So you think you shoot a president, you're in prison for life. Not the case. This guy is out now. He's been out for a hot minute, I guess. And now he has a YouTube channel. And he's getting social media attention. He recently posted a love song called Majesty of Love. He wants to make a new name for himself and says, I'm a musician. Nobody knows that. They just see me as the guy who tried to kill Reagan. So wild.
Mistake. I mean, it happened so long ago.
It's like, geez, you try to kill one president and that's all anyone ever wants to talk about. It's crazy.
Yeah, he's out.
If the guy that you tried to kill dies of natural causes, I feel like you should get a clean slate.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, I just thought that was funny. That's my saved round. So,
all right, cons.
Yeah. So this actually happened to me last week. I was coming back on the plane from. I was down in Florida for a few days, doing some recon, and Alex and I were in different rows, different seats, and there was a seat in between myself and another passenger. So I politely said, oh, ma'am, do you mind if my fiance comes and sits here next to me? Because Alex had a middle seat somewhere else on the plane. This woman had a huge bag underneath the seat. And she looked at me and she goes, well no, because my bag won't fit underneath this seat. And I was just kind of taken aback. And I thought, well, number one, this isn't your seat. So you really have no say where, you know, if my fiance just comes and sits here, you can't say boo. And two, you could just be a nice, decent person and say, oh, I'll fit this bag. Cause the bag easily could have fit on her. She just didn't want someone in between us is really what it came down to. And I say that to say that, like, we were talking about how, you know,
your ears, Kate, I need to ask Kanz a question. Plug your ears, please. How fat was she? Like if she's already settled.
She wasn't into the other seat, but she was, you know, it wouldn't have been a comfortable situation. I'll say that. Okay.
Don't worry, Kate. She wasn't fat.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you asked. Lovely.
But no, as we were talking about, you know, COVID is on the way out and we're kind of returning back to society. I just, you know, kind of remember, like, it's kind of like when you're going from high school to college or from middle school to high school and you can kind of reinvent yourself maybe a little bit and be a different person. You have the choice to be a good person as we all re-enter society. There you go. That's it. Be kind. It's very simple. Mm-hmm. Be a good human. Everybody has that choice.
Shame
now.
Somebody because they can't get their stuff underneath a different seat. Hmm. Yeah. Fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. You should never do that.
Yeah.
But you know, just be mindful as you get back into society. It's your choice to be a nice person. That's my soapbox. All right.
Mine is Sergeant Major of the Army had a new program that they announced. Apparently this program has been around since 2014. I never heard of it, where you can take a pause in your enlistment. Yeah. And in that, you can take a pause, and for every month that you leave the Army and go do other things, you owe the Army 2 months whenever you come back. That's kind of like taking the R&R that the Army did on a whole new level. I would rather just get my contract over. Don't pause it. Like, for, I always felt so bad, like, because some of the handlers that I worked with in Iraq, all the handlers lived on the same compound because we had to have a kennel. So no matter what unit you lived in, if you were a dog handler, you lived in this one spot. And one of these spots, there were some Army handlers who had been there for like 5 or 6 months already. And then they would go home, and then they would come back like 3 weeks later after their R&R was over. And I always thought, dude, I would not want to do that. I can't imagine. And you did that, Cons, like where you come back and then you have to go back again. To me, that would make it so much worse. Much worse.
I guess that, you know, to each their own. The Marines do their deployments a little differently. It's shorter, but you don't go home in the middle, and you usually end up then as a result doing, like, you end up doing more deployments, but it's the same amount of time. I don't know. It really just comes down to
mine was like 10 months because I went from Okinawa. So I had to go from Okinawa to Pendleton to train. And then I was actually in Iraq for like 7.5-8 months. But I understand what you're saying. But that would be like I don't know if that's an option for a lot of people. Because one, you're pausing your time in great time and service. And then you come back after 2 years and everybody's fucking was your peers outranked you if they didn't take that same program. That would be a kick in the dick.
From what I read in the article, it seemed like if you had something substantial going on in your life where you needed to walk away from the military, because the military can be a very difficult place to be if you have a significant life event going on where you really need to focus on that, you know, whatever it may be. So I think it's intended to be like for a couple months. If you walked away for 3 years.
What if they did that for like maternity, Kate? Do you think that would be a good option? Like if you wanted, like you could take your 6 months or whatever that the Marine Corps is doing now, but if you wanted more time, they're like, okay, we'll pause your contract and whenever you're ready, come back.
I mean, I would take it. I would love it for their toddler years or whatever. Yeah, I can see that being like actually something I'd be interested in for real. And then once they were old enough to be in school, be like, all right, I'm ready to go again. I'm back. I don't know.
But to Chaps' point, and again, everyone's different, but to Chaps' point, if you walk away from the Marines, especially for 3 years, or the Army for 3 years, imagine that lifestyle change to go back to that. That would be a real kick in the butt, I think.
Everything's a kick in the butt. I mean, when you have a kid, dealing with anything is going to be a kick in the dick. So you have to, or a vagina, like you just have to figure out which one's important for you, I guess. But I'm glad that the different branches, thanks to their woke fucking ideologies, are trying to figure out different ways to make soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, guardians, right?
Yeah. I think so, right?
The guardians. Yeah, the guardians. That they try to make their lives better. I think that's a great thing. Make sure that you're on the lookout for that link that I'm going to send. It's a great program that I'm going to be involved in next week. Other than that, we'll see you next time. It's on the retreat.